Lifestyle matters. It's more than money.
I'm Faisal Carmelli, my co-host here, Dave Popwich. How you doing, buddy?
I'm great. You?
Outdressing me again.
It's Sweater Saturday.
Yeah, apparently. And you didn't get the memo. You and your jacket and stuff.
If you're watching online, I'd love to hear from you again about how much better dressed I am than Faisal.
So much better. It brings a pocket square on a Saturday. Who does that?
Come on. You got to be civilized about this.
Clearly.
Keep it civilized, my friend.
With that beard, you call that civilized? Neanderthal. Anyways, we've got a good show today, my friend.
Well, we're going to talk about how civilized the markets are going to be in 2020.
Yeah, what kind of risks there are, how much risk should you be willing to take if you want to be exposed to the stock market.
Right.
That's going to be a very interesting conversation. We're going to talk about what happened in 2019 and what should we be worried about in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we bring that guest on, it's going to be very interesting. But also, he's going to talk about a couple things as risk. One is the coronavirus.
Yeah, for sure. You can't ignore it. Okay, so let's talk about risks. Let's talk about a bit about the week, right? In terms of what's happened, because the common theme, there's an emotional theme running again through the conversations I'm having.
Okay,
we'll get back to coronavirus in a minute. But so how long have we been talking about coronavirus now? A couple of weeks, maybe.
Yeah,
maybe. Before that, started the year talking about end of the year. Started with Iran.
Iran. Yeah.
Okay. So I can't tell you it's. The headlines, again, we've talked about this lots, but there's a news headline that comes out, and this coronavirus happens to be the one right now, Iran before that. But it's emotional. It's driving these emotional conversations. What do we do? How do we deal with it?
Yep.
What's going to be the next one? Who knows? But 3 weeks, 6 weeks from now, 8 weeks from now, we'll be talking about something else, right? We're never devoid of risk.
Yeah, so there's always going to be some sort of big topic, and so the fear kicks in. When we talk about like the coronavirus, I think the concern is, can this be widespread? But what's interesting about this virus, and listen to the rationale or the emotion.
Mm-hmm.
That's better. The emotions happen here in Calgary. People canceled their reservations at some restaurants in Chinatown because of the coronavirus.
Right.
That's the reaction.
Right.
So how do you expect if a business owner in Calgary is going to lose business because of some virus not even in Calgary, how do you think the markets are going
to
react?
Yeah, no, it's interesting to see it. You and I debate and chat and ranter back and forth about a number of things on a regular basis. You know, one of the things, I've been doing a lot of reading about the coronavirus. Now, listen, I'm not a virologist. I don't know where this is going to go. Nobody really does, okay? But you can look at SARS and the comparisons and the kinds of viruses and what SARS did. And then I was curious and doing some reading around just the common flu. Right.
Yeah.
Just to see what impact the flu has, because we get it every year. Everybody seems to look past that. It's not classified the same way. It doesn't get the same headlines. But the flu is pretty serious stuff worldwide. A bad flu year, I think it was 1718 or 1819. Don't quote me on exactly, but 2017, 2018, 2019 there.
Yeah.
Okay. The flu affected something like 49.5 million people worldwide. Yeah. It's a serious killer every year.
Yeah.
Right? Hospitalizations are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands.
But there's no major economic damage. There's no fly zone. There's no...
I know.
That's the difference, Dave.
It is a difference.
It's a huge difference. So the fear of the flu is not going to impact the markets or the economy as much. In fact, it might even help the economy.
I agree with you.
Okay.
100%.
So when you have this... Now a state of emergency pretty much by the World Health Organization.
Right.
And they come out saying it's spreading. And now you got cruise ships being quarantined. And it's never been quarantined for a flu.
I agree.
You're getting all these different pieces coming in. Fear will lead you from not doing business. Just ask the Chinatown business owner what just happened.
Well, this is my point. There's a bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy in these things. And it's not just with the coronavirus. It can be any number of different things.
They're running out of masks in China.
Yeah, and the mask producers are making a ton of money.
But the point is that this is how much fear there is.
Agreed.
And so everything in this world is pushed by emotion.
Agreed.
And that's where when you hear this is going to impact the economy, and I'm speaking the global economy, and impact...
Well, apparently the local economy too.
It may, right? and it impacts the markets. Mm-hmm. That's why we're getting phone calls.
For sure.
That's why listeners of this show are saying, well, what's it going to do to my portfolio?
Right.
And so I understand when you compare it to the flu, it's I understand from a health perspective, one is more destructive than the other.
And we could treat the flu the same way. You could say that to stop the flu from spreading, you could enact the very same
thing. You would shut down a city and prevent travel to a city because they have a flu there?
Why not? It kills more people. It killed more people than
SARS. But it's not
in
one area.
My point is you could do it.
No, you can't do that, Dave.
Why? You could stop the spread of the
flu. You get a flu in Calgary. You're going to have a no-fly zone in Calgary?
And it would stop. You wouldn't have 49 million people affected. You'd have less than that, and it would have less impact. But less impact on people getting sick, but a much bigger economic impact.
But the flu has a vaccine.
Which very few people take.
But the flu also has
a process that
the human body can take through it.
Very few people.
Are you saying that the flu, and I don't know this, but the flu is more of an impact, not the number of deaths, more of an impact than this coronavirus?
No, I'm not. I'm saying it has a much bigger human impact, the flu, by multiples.
Yes.
And a much smaller, because of the way we react to it.
But that's globally you're talking about, and it doesn't spread from people traveling in the same way as the coronavirus does.
It does spread, perhaps not quite as quick. I've read tons of stuff. The coronavirus might spread quicker. It's less, according to the data, it's less impactful from a death perspective than SARS was.
Right? Yeah, you can pick on any other disease out there saying that's a problem.
But that was a coronavirus. That was a coronavirus.
And so this is the problem that it impacts. When you have a city shut down, when you have a no-fly restriction, or when you have those types of things, that just propels the fear.
So
I understand what you're saying is that the flu kills more people. Well, we can start going down the path of other things that kill more people than the flu. So that doesn't mean it's going to impact the economy. So I think we need to just take a step back and say, yes, your argument is valid. Mm-hmm. And because of the way that we're reacting to the coronavirus,
we'll have a bigger global economic impact.
People need to put that as one of the items on their list of risks to worry about in 2020. Does that make sense?
Agreed.
Okay.
Agreed. So if they're successful and they can contain it quickly, because it's been a very aggressive response, very different than SARS, okay, then this will be a very short-term blip. Now, we don't know that yet.
Time will tell.
That's right. You got to monitor it day by day, right? But the emotional reaction to it, whether it's this or something else, is constantly there, and people get exhausted, and that's part of my thesis.
I don't think people get exhausted. I think people just feed off this whole. Now it's this. It's Iran. Then it's coronavirus.
Perpetual fear, though, right?
But that's that. They don't. I don't think they're exhausted. I have yet to meet someone that says I'm just exhausted.
I talk to people all the
time.
All the time. Maybe that's because I'm the risk guy on the team.
Yeah,
telling you all the time. People are terrified.
Yeah, okay.
Terrified. Yeah. Terrified last year. Just constant, right?
Yeah.
So
there's something fear to be, guy. That's
well, it's something problem. to be learned. Yeah, I mean, I do.
And you're
lay
scary
awake.
Looking too. So I guess that's why
I lay awake thinking about things that go bump for sure in the night. But
I'm more an aggressive growth guy. So to me, I'm more optimistic. Yeah. I see the things that the opportunities versus the only the drawbacks. So I'm. Yeah, I guess that could be the reason.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah. Okay, yeah. We do have a cool show because we got to make some sense of all this, right? So that's the risk today, whatever the case may be. And we have to figure out a little bit about what happened in 2019 and what does that mean for 2020? What's carried forward into 2020 and that in additional risk? How do we position ourselves in 2020? Next two segments, we're going to do that with Miles. But before we do that, let's remind everybody about our upcoming seminar in February.
That'll be on Tuesday, February 18th, 7 p.m. at the Carriage House Inn. You need to reserve your seats. Give us a call, 966-8400. Or go to our website at morethanmoneyradio.com.
How do the chief investment strategists of the world see 2020 shaping up? Stick around for that. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.